This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. It's hard to believe, but Christmas is less than 2 weeks away already. During this time, when we celebrate Christ's entrance into the world, we see symbols of the gospel all around us. But did you know that it's even written in the stars above us?
On today's program, we continue our series on the real meaning of the zodiac. You'll be surprised and fascinated. And later in the program, you'll discover how the biblical prophets, in particular Isaiah, writing hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, foretold with amazing accuracy the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of our Lord. And a bit later, we'll share with you how you can get Dr. Kennedy's series on the Zodiac, which has been among our most requested resources for years.
And I'm John Sorensen. Later in today's program, I'll share with you how God has designed a future for you.
And as we begin today's program, we'll hear from my father, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, as he presents one of the messages of his classic series, The Gospel in the Stars. This message has never been aired on television before, and it's a true Kennedy classic. Here's The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, Virgo.
May we hear the word of our God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And may God speak to our hearts and minds this day through this His holy word, and may His name ever be praised. Amen. 100 and some years ago, a skeptic by the name of Volney wrote a famous work entitled Volney's Ruins. He, along with Dupuy and Bailey and a number of French skeptics, gathered together a collection of all of the various ancient mythologies of the various peoples of the world, and demonstrated that these showed a remarkable and astounding correspondence to the teachings concerning Christ and his salvation. Now, they said, since these mythologies, which often involved interpretations of the constellations of the zodiac, since these very clearly long antedated the revelation and coming of Christ into the world, it was obvious to them that Christianity was nothing more than a borrowing from pagan mythology, dressing it up in Hebrew dress and pawning it off on a credulous world. Thus, many were led to a deeper examination of this and to some rather remarkable findings. One of those conclusions was the fact that none of these skeptics were able to tell whence came these ancient mythologies, and particularly this understanding of the signs of the zodiac, the constellations of the sky, which seem to be the same whether we go to Egyptian or Greek or Roman or Persian, Arabic, whatever source we go to, Indian or Chinese, the same signs were held throughout the world. Where did they come from? Well, these scholars discovered that the fact is that we cannot ascertain their antiquity, that the farther back we go, they're still there. Now, it's interesting, again, that the signs bear little or no resemblance to the stars in the heaven. That is, if 100 people were to go out and name the constellations, they would not come up with the pictures that have been given to them and have been held by people all over the world. Where did they come from? Well, the Arabic tradition is that they came from Seth and from Enoch. This is the same tradition that the Greeks have, only the Greeks knew Enoch, called him Atlas. This is the same tradition of the Egyptians, only they knew Enoch as Hermes. But all of these go back to the grandson of Adam and say that Enoch and his father Seth were the founders of this ancient understanding of the heavens. We're told in Genesis that God put the stars in the heavens for signs, and these signs convey a message, and that God has revealed that message to Adam and to his sons and grandson, and that message has gone into all of the civilizations of the world and is passed down through the centuries. At the time of the building of the Tower of Babel, this was corrupted into astrology, whereby instead of these being signs of God and his salvation, whereby we should worship God, they were changed into deities themselves. And people began to worship the host of heaven, the sun and the moon and the planets and the stars. And so they worship the host of heaven. Now, we have seen that the Bible condemns astrology very, very strongly. And if you remember or look in Isaiah chapter 47, you will see a very strong condemnation of the whole matter of astrology. In Isaiah chapter 47, he says this in verse 13, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them, they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame." So we see that the Bible condemns this heathen astrology. Instead of being simply the story of Christ, people took them to be deities which have an influence on our lives. Now, today, this is covered over, and it is supposedly the stars themselves that are exerting some influence upon our lives. This is utterly absurd. The stars do not exert any influence upon us, and the deities that they supposedly represent are but the figments of people's imaginations. And so the Bible condemns astrology, and it says that we are not to consort with these people. We are not to consult them, to have nothing to do with this. And yet, behind all of that, there is this great revelation of God and of his glory and of his salvation. In what has come to be known as the zodiac. This is often described as a circle of animals, but that's not really what the word means. It comes from a primitive root, zoad, which comes through the Hebrew sadi, and in Sanskrit means a way, a step, a path. It is the path or the way, and it is the way of salvation which is being revealed in the heavens. There are the main 12 major signs, and then there are the 36 decans or minor signs that are connected with each of these houses. So let's begin with the first house, which is Virgo. In this first book of the 12 books of the zodiac, and you'll notice in all of this, what we have is a great celestial preaching of the gospel. We have, first of all, the woman promised in the proto-evangelium, the seed of the woman who is going to destroy the seed of the serpent. We have Virgo, the virgin woman, holding the branch and the seeds in her hand. We find next to her is Coma, the desired one, the desire of all nations who shall come, who is now an infant being nourished in her lap. And thirdly, we see him grown to manhood, a very unusual man, however, one with two natures, one who is the great hunter, teacher, physician, and one who gives his life voluntarily and conveys his immortality to others. One who is the great high priest slaying the victim over the southern cross. And finally, we see him also full grown, coming mightily and in power and rapidly as Boötes, the coming one, the ruler, the governor, the harvester of the earth, coming in judgment to harvest the world with a sickle in his hand. So we see in this first volume a preview or overview of the entire message of the Scripture. Even as in Genesis, we have an overview of the whole message of salvation, so also we have in this first book of the heavenly proclamation of the gospel a picture of Christ in his prophesied coming as the seed of the Virgin, in his birth and nativity, in his suffering and priesthood, and finally in his coming in glory and judgment as the harvester of the earth. The glorious proclamation of the birth, sufferings, and future glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, I hope that as you go out and look at the starry skies above, you will be impressed anew and afresh. And as we proceed with this series, you will become amazed at the God who hath writ on high these things for all the world to see. For surely his voice hath gone unto the ends of the earth, and the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are plainly seen, as God has placed these constellations, this Maseroth, which he brings forth with his own hand in its season, pictures of the great salvation which he has wrought in Jesus Christ. May we pray. Our Father, we thank thee that thou hast left no one in ignorance. And we thank thee that thou hast given us thy word to make clear again the teaching of thy gospel. But we praise thee that during those many centuries when there was no written gospel, that thou hast not left thyself without witness, but hath proclaimed thy glory and thy salvation in the starry skies above. And we rejoice in that, that thou art the sovereign Lord, who telleth all of the stars, who numbereth them and calleth them by name and bringeth them forth in their order, and hath used them to declare thy glory unto mankind, even the glory of thy gracious salvation through the seed of the woman, our great Savior, Deliverer, and Judge, even Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
It's incredible to learn the real meaning of the zodiac. Have you ever thought about the lengths God has gone to show us his plan of salvation? It's not hidden. It's for all who will transfer their trust from their own supposed good works to what Jesus Christ's death and resurrection did for each one of us. He paid the penalty that we could never pay. He paid the price for our salvation, and He offers us this great salvation as an absolutely free gift. Do you have this gift? Are you living the abundant life that Christ came to give? If not, I urge you not to let another day go by. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins, and I ask you to forgive me. I want to know the free gift of eternal life and the abundant life that you've come to give. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. In your name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, then this is what Jesus Christ says about what you've just done. Whoever believes in me has everlasting life. To help you understand this everlasting life that you're embarking on today, we want to send you Beginning Again. It's the book written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers, and it's our gift to you when you write to the address on your screen or call our toll-free number. Reading it, you'll learn how to study God's Word, how to pray, and even how to witness to others. Be sure and write or call for Beginning Again. God bless you as you do.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
For the first time ever, D. James Kennedy's most requested resource is available on one DVD set. The Gospel in the Stars, on 13 DVDs or audio CDs, available for a limited time as a thank you for your donation of $75 or more.
God, from the very beginning, outlined in the panorama of the stars the whole message of the gospel of Christ.
The Gospel in the Stars is D. James Kennedy at his best. Don't miss this rare opportunity to own these very special messages today.
How great thou art, O God, who hath painted the starry skies with a message of redemption.
As my dad shared today, the gospel message of the salvation Jesus brings to those who believe in Him was proclaimed in the stars hundreds of years before there was even writing. Now you're about to see another way in which the gospel message of Jesus Christ was proclaimed by God long before it was fulfilled.
The Hebrew prophets foretold the coming of the Messiah, which is a Hebrew word. In Greek, that word is Christ. For example, Isaiah, who wrote his book around 750 B.C., has some amazing things to say about the coming Savior. Jesus fulfilled these things, showing to all who will listen that only God could have written the Bible, because only God knows the future. Let's take a closer look.
Jesus fulfilled a very great deal of messianic prophecy, yes, but quite a lot of it was fulfilled in ways that people at the time weren't expecting.
Because there were all kinds of prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. You have Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, who almost writes a passion story on Jesus, 7 centuries before the fact.
Some scholars have pointed out that without the benefit of the New Testament, one could construct a detailed life of Christ just from the prophecies contained in the book of Isaiah. What are some of these prophecies? First, Isaiah tells us that the Messiah would be born of a virgin.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Some scholars have challenged this prophecy, since the Hebrew word for virgin can also simply mean a young maiden. They claim that the virgin birth of Christ is something that has been interpreted back into Isaiah 7.
Isaiah 7:14, the word for virgin is Alma, but the question is, what did it mean then? Now, we've got a witness. We have the ones who translated the Septuagint, which was translated starting really 270 before Christ, and translated by rabbis in Alexandria, Egypt. That is, it was a translation of the Hebrew Bible into Greek, which was the lingua franca of the day. And when Jewish rabbis translated that Hebrew word a couple hundred years before Jesus, no chip on their shoulder, they picked the word virgin.
Furthermore, the prophecy in Isaiah 7 points to someone who would not be merely human.
The Bible says a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel is, of course, the Hebrew. God is with us. So Isaiah is writing 700 years before Christ. And in some sense, someday there's going to be a birth that's going to be a sign from the Lord. And that birth will produce somebody that's God with us.
Isaiah chapter 9 goes on to give us even more information about this forthcoming divine Messiah.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Notice it says a child is going to be born. A son is given. It's going to be a male child, and he's going to be born. In these verses in Isaiah chapter 9, we see the child and the son. The same passage talks about the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And passages like this fit the divinity of Christ.
And perhaps most famously of all, Isaiah 53 points us to the suffering Messiah who would ultimately pay for the sins of his people on the cross.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Because he made central for his agenda Isaiah 53 and Daniel 7 and several of the Psalms, which were not just about the authority that the Messiah would have, though it was that as well, but about the suffering by which he would attain his kingdom.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Incredible description of what happened to Jesus on Good Friday.
As a Jewish person, reading that for the very first time, knowing that the prophecy was written 750 years before Jesus, I was reading this description of an individual who was going to suffer and die, being pierced, being beaten, being scourged for the sins of my people. I was shocked because for the very first time, I saw a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. And it was that passage that moved me as a Jewish person to explore the crucifixion of Jesus even more.
We have more than an earthly event taking place here. This is part of the divine drama of our salvation. This is only at the surface what is happening at a tremendous depth by which our salvation was accomplished by God in Christ. Jesus had not only the physical agonies of Good Friday, but he had also the burden of the sins of the world. It was a cosmic load that only God himself could have shouldered.
That is only the tip of the iceberg of the much bigger picture of Jesus believing that Israel and the world, all their history was focused onto this one moment when evil would do its worst and then God's kingdom would come by defeating it.
Isn't it amazing? Hundreds of years before Jesus ever came, his life, death, and resurrection were foretold by God. These weren't the vague promises of fortune cookies or horoscopes. These were concrete prophecies that Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled. And as my dad pointed out in his message today, just as Christ's ministry of redemption was foretold by the prophets, so also was it foretold in the stars. for those who will listen.
Dr. Kennedy's series on the Gospel in the Stars, from which you heard just a portion of one message in this program, still reverberates today. For the very first time ever, that series is available in its entirety on 13 DVDs or audio CDs featuring full-length messages, most of which have never been seen on TV before. You saw, again, just a portion of the message on Virgo today, and included in this set is that full message, plus each of the 11 other signs and an overview. And for a limited time, we're making the Gospel in the Stars series on 13 DVDs or audio CDs available to you as our thanks for a generous donation of just $75 or more to the ongoing work of this ministry. We'll also include Dr. Kennedy's classic book, just back into print, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, which hasn't been available for years. That's an amazing value. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free, 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. These resources are available exclusively through our ministry, so contact us right away. This series is so intriguing that you might want to share it with others. So, for a limited time, you can have The Real Meaning of the Zodiac book, plus the 13 DVD set, plus the 13 audio CD set of The Gospel in the Stars. That's 26 discs in all, plus the book, for a donation of just $100 or more. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free, 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. You can also get the book alone for a generous donation of any amount.
With your help the past year, we have greatly expanded our reach. God has been blessing this ministry through you. With only a few weeks left in 2014, we need your help so that we can finish the year in the black and enter the new year strongly, ready to address cultural issues from a biblical perspective. So please, don't delay. Thank you for joining us today, and may God bless you in this Christmas season.
And may God bless America with repentance and a new spiritual awakening.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
It was a star that came in the winter. Somewhere, my friends, the light of that star shines down upon us all.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.